Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, today with my fabulous co-host.
Hey, guys. This is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach and IFBB Bikini Pro.
So today we're going to be talking about working smarter, not harder. But first, I would be completely remiss if I did not talk about the Oklahoma MPC show that I went to this weekend. We had the special privilege of attending a posing seminar with Sandy Williamson, which was awesome. And JM was there as well. So I learned a lot of valuable nuggets. I did put it on the Glam Girl Live, so probably there are some listeners out there that have watched that. But if you haven't, it is on the playback on our Instagram, so at Glam Girl Bikini on IG. You can look that up. But the main takeaways that I got is that since they are still figuring out what the wellness division is, and it's still an evolving process. Sandy's words, not mine. It's the blind leading the blind. So they had said at the Pittsburgh Pro, the first official, you know, pro show for wellness for this year, that they learned a lot of things, and they actually learned that they need to standardize a front pose for wellness, because that was one thing that in my mind, I don't know about you, Chris, but I was always, it kind of seemed like a loose interpretation, and I couldn't really understand if it was more of like a model pose, a stallion pose, a scissor pose, you know, if it's supposed to look more bikini. So I got the answer, and it is supposed to be the stallion pose is the front pose. So they want everybody in that, because if you think about it, what's now the standardized bikini front pose is that scissor pose, is how I refer to it. That is really a quarter turn in wellness.
Yes.
So depending on which side you're on, they're both quarter turns for wellness. So they want everyone sitting kind of back in their hip, and then feet should be separated. So no feet crossed over. You might call it model pose. It's kind of like a figure model pose or a transitional pose in bikini. That is no longer acceptable. The feet have to be separated in the front pose. So that's one thing that we learned. And then another thing about wellness that was valuable to learn was that there is no standard bottoms. So you can have connectors. You can have, I know there's a lot of suit companies out there that are making wellness bottoms that are fabric-based, V-shaped. Those are perfectly acceptable. But also, if you like connectors, you can do connectors. And then I feel like there was one other thing that I was missing that we chatted about before we hopped on with wellness. That you have to do the quarter turns.
Yes, your routine.
So you can't skip a quarter turn in wellness now. You have to hit front pose, do the right quarter turn, do the back pose, and then do another right quarter turn on the other side for your individual to be legal, so to speak. Yeah. Go ahead.
Those are really good. I was just going to say, those are really big, important wellness developments. I think it's super important to pay attention to how that is evolving if you compete in that category, so that you just stay up to trend, because it's going to, I think, continually move. And so, yeah, just staying up with those tips, I think, is really big, really, really helpful.
Yeah. And some other shocking things that I kind of learned was that with wellness being a little bit more international, we're starting to see, I guess, some kind of crazy heels. one person in particular that she was mentioning wore strappy, like straps around her shins, almost, is how she described it. And she said that they're not counting down for that, that she doesn't really judge on the heels. We know that the MPC rules do say it's a clear heel, 4 to 6 inches, but according to Sandy, she's not marking off for that. And somebody had asked if she marks off based on if an athlete has implants or not, and she said she's never marked off for not having them, but she has marked off for people that had them, because their chest basically made them unbalanced and unsymmetrical. So it actually went, yeah, the other way with that one. I don't recall any other glaring things. That was there anything that I mentioned when we chatted about the posing seminar that I forgot to say?
I don't think so. I always like to play it safe with the shoe thing, though. Like, I've heard many judges say that they are there to judge your physique. Like, I remember at a posing seminar, Gary Udit was talking about, like, the shorts that men's physique would wear, because they can kind of, like, pick their color and style. And he said, like, if I show you a picture of a physique competitor on my phone, like, real quick, I flash it in front of you, and then I pull it back, and you remember the suit color because that's the thing that stood out to you. He's like, that's a, like, an indicator of you're choosing something that is taking away from your physique. So even though, like, you know, Sandy is the woman, her rules are the rules. I always would prefer to play it safe and just get some comfortable shoes. They have some very comfortable posing shoes. Thank you, Shoe Fairy. And ones that I just know would not detract from all that hard work you put into your physique.
Yeah. And you can always use our code GLAMGIRL, all caps. And
yes, get,
I believe it's 15% off anything on the Shoe Fairy's website, jewelry, heels, but the Olympians, I know we both have those, and they feel like marshmallows on your feet.
They're a game changer. Yeah. If you have comfortable shoes, you will pose so much better. Like, I've had girls with their feet sliding out, or they're just, like, stiff, or they've their feet cramped. Like, if you have nice shoes, you have a level up on the competition. So it's totally worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So today we're going to kind of dive into the topic of working smarter, not harder. And we have several facets of your prep life that we could dive into with this one, where quality over quantity is definitely a key factor. So, Chris, do you want to start things off with one of the three things that we're going to talk about? So either cardio, sure, or training, which one do you want to dive into?
I think nutrition is the first thing that comes to the forefront. I always feel like, you know, we've talked about it before, of, you know, your pyramid of things that are most important in your prep, and nutrition's, like, on the bottom. That's building the foundation. So I think especially for people who, you know, have a little bit of freedom with their meal plans, they macro count, it's important, the quality of foods that you're picking, especially closer to your show. And I've just found that removing processed foods the sooner that you can leading up to your show, when you're cutting, just brings in a much tighter physique. You're not gambling with, you know, maybe some gut inflammation, or any type of, like, water retention. I think that being smart about your food choices, not just only worrying about your macros and your calories, but also the things that you're choosing to put in your body to get the look that you're going for, and to, you know, optimally be as healthy as possible, really makes a difference. And I think making those sacrifices sometimes can be really tough. I remember, like, oh my gosh, this is coming back to me right now. I remember you had, I think, prunes on my meal plan at, like, way, way, way back when. And I remember when you told me to pull them because we were, like, trimming down. And I was like, how can she take this from me? Like, it was, like, groundbreaking that you took my prunes. I don't know why that just popped in my head. But I'm so thankful that I made that switch and I made that sacrifice, because I know my physique changed when I listened to, like, guidance that was coming from an outside perspective, not just, like, what I was wanting or what I was craving, but somebody that was looking at my physique, who knew my goal and knew what action steps I had to take to be able to reach that. So, I think just paying attention to your nutrition and, you know, really working with your coach, talking through what your food choices are, making the sacrifices, and really knowing that, like, you have limited time there, especially, like, if you have, you're counting down your weeks. So it's important to pay attention to those things. Is there anything you would add? I'm sure. Let's hear.
Well, when it comes to quality over, with nutrition, I certainly believe that when you do start cutting out those more processed foods, your, first of all, like you said, your gut health is so much better. But I personally just feel like my performance in the gym is better. My cravings are lower. I just have better, I feel like I'm functioning optimally. And by making those choices, I'm just not suffering through as much hunger because my foods aren't digesting as quickly. So with the, you know, thermic effect balancing of food, it also helps my metabolism as well. So
yes. Yeah, I have noticed that, like, more balanced blood sugars when I'm making sure that I have things that are processed much, or my body is utilizing foods that digest much differently than processed food.
Yeah, for sure. So when it comes to training, I want to split this up into two parts. So I want to split it up into upper body and then lower body, because there's a couple of things. So we were kind of chatting before the podcast, and we were just talking about how, you know, if you are doing the same things over and over again and expecting to get a different result, that's the definition of insanity. You have to do differently. You have to take each prep and learn from whatever happened in that prep and use the, you know, that piece that you need to work on and do something differently to make an impact that's in a different way. So if we're talking about upper body, I'll just go ahead and start with kind of what I've done from last prep to this prep to improve. And when it comes to a bikini athlete, obviously we're all trying to get those bolder shoulders. So delt activation is key. And with my man traps, I've really had to do some different things. So I've talked about on previous podcasts that I did a muscle activation therapy with a physical therapist. But since even then, I've done other techniques that I feel like have helped me even more. So some of the new things that I do is that I use a Smith machine bar and I put weight on it and I release my traps by putting the bar on the trap and kind of stretching my neck to the side and doing laterals and then tucking my scapula back and really getting the tension. It's kind of like how when I get a deep tissue massage, how she, you know, presses really hard on the muscle to release it. So when I do that before each of my shoulder exercises, I notice that my traps aren't tight and that I'm able to better engage my deltoid muscle and they don't activate as quickly. And then I also, I've done chiropractic work for the first time ever. So I actually get dry needling done on my trap, which it's actual needles that get put into your muscle and then they get connected to like an electrical current and it contracts that muscle so that it eventually, you know, the tightening and releasing of that muscle, it I feel so much better after I get it done, essentially.
That's great.
It's not as tight and there's not as much pain there. And then I also get Graston, which is basically like a metal tool that the chiropractor uses and he scrapes on the muscle. So those are some things that I've done with my upper body. And then just really focusing on tucking the scapula. My chiropractor was also working with me on doing that so that I can fully activate my deltoids. So those are some things that I'm doing that have really, I mean, the time spent, it's a little extra time to release my traps. I get there, you know, 5 to 10 minutes earlier than what I normally would have, but that 5 minutes is so well worth it because it makes my whole upper body training session so much more useful and productive.
Yes, I think that's great. Similarly, for my upper body, I've also worked with a chiropractor that's just kind of helped pinpoint where he like feels tension or sees tension so that I can do those releases in the gym like you're talking about with your trap. That's actually, that's such a good exercise. I've done that one before with the Smith machine bar. But also I think like once you have that muscle released, also like how you are, like your I'm trying to think of how to explain this. The rest of your body position, I think, is important when you're training, even like your shoulders. So thinking about like my core and my back position as I'm pressing or doing shoulder movements. And one thing that's been huge is my head position. So my boyfriend has given me the cue of think about like long neck. And for some reason, that really connects and puts my spine and my body in a good position and pushes my shoulders down in the shoulder girdle. So that when I'm pressing, I'm more easily isolating that muscle than just like feeling like I'm using my whole body to press weight. Because I think that's a lot of the aim when we get into the gym is to be able to isolate that muscle and put as much time under tension and weight on it to be able to build it stronger. So, and similar to your dry needling as well, I've used TENS unit, like a TENS unit. I've ordered one and have one of my own at home. So that's actually been really helpful in my traps too, if I ever feel like that extra tension. Seems like it's similar to how your dry needling works.
Yeah, it's pretty similar. It's dry needling looks like acupuncture because they put an actual needle in your skin and then kind of like hook it up to that. So it's interesting. It goes down really deep, but it doesn't produce blood or anything like that. So another thing that, as you were talking about that, is I used to be really out in front with my shoulder presses and then also with my lateral raises. So really opening up my chest and bringing the weights back behind, and having that has really helped isolate my deltoids as well. So,
Good tip. I agree that it does make a big difference.
okay, so let's talk about lower body.
Yes. So similarly with lower body, having your hips warmed up is great for getting good glute activation. And again, the whole theme of this is quality. So getting your quality workout. So that time you're spending in the gym, you're not spending 2 hours just kind of like working lots of muscles and hoping that your glutes are getting some work, but you're really isolating. So some exercises, I always do dynamic work warm-ups in the beginning. So I pay attention to stretching out my hip flexors and my quads because that's gonna inhibit hip extension, especially in your hip thrusts, and pull your pelvic and anterior position, which is gonna deactivate your glutes as well too. And hamstrings is gonna pull in the opposite direction. So I always make sure those are loosened up, and then I'll do a couple sets of either abduction work or banded hip thrusts or reverse hypers, frog pumps, like just something where I'm feeling the glutes are really pushing through and dominating the exercise. I'm totally talking about glutes because I'm figuring that's what most people are aiming to grow in the gym. But yeah, that has been really helpful so that when I get onto that first exercise with weight, my glutes are already, they already know that they're there to do the work. And it's just continuing that process from there.
Yeah, I've also been doing a lot more time. I used to just come into the gym, like check it off the box, go in there and get right after it. And I've been very intentional about taking 15 minutes to do banded side steps, banded monster walks, hydrants, single leg glute bridges, to just get everything warmed up so that I don't have tight hip flexors, that I'm able to get a good pelvic tilt on all of my exercises. And I've also shied away from the hip thrust machine, and I've gone back down to the floor with bumper plates, because I find that I get a better range of motion and a better hip hinge and pelvic tilt when that huge seatbelt isn't like kind of over my. I just don't get as much range of motion, I feel like, on the glute driver machine. So, and then you have, it's a lot more intense too, because you have a lot more stabilizing muscles trying to fire to keep the barbell in place.
Yeah, there's definitely I that's so funny to me. I feel like I've done both recently. Like I've done the machine and I've done the barbell, and I feel like they do. They work independently. Like, these both fire my glutes, but in different ways. So I think that's really great that you go towards the things that you know are working. Like if it's firing your glutes more, like go do the harder thing. because you'll get more of a payoff if your glutes are firing better.
Yeah,
So.
in certain circumstances, I will use the glute driver. If I'm putting my toes up on like wedges and things like that, or maybe I'm trying to do like a weighted single leg. That's just a lot easier than having a barbell on your
Yeah,
next to your one
I can
leg, or
imagine.
B stance or something like that. But yeah, in general, I think, between foam rolling, stretching every single day, I don't think people understand that if they're not growing their glutes, it's likely because they haven't done the work with recovery and warm up to even get them engaged in the gym properly. And I think people, obviously mind muscle connection's huge, technique is huge, your form, all of that. But even if those are on point, if you don't have the range of motion and you haven't properly warmed up that area or foam rolled it and stretched it out, then it's really going to be difficult to grow. And something that I've done differently, I've always been like a 365, never take a day, team no day off, like for years. And I realized that you have to take days off in order to grow. And so I've been, it's been hard at first to kind of make that transition. But when I pay attention to the intensity of my workouts, so before I was just kind of checking off all of my workouts, like checking them off on the box, but I wasn't really paying attention to the quality and like what my heart rate was during a session and things like that. So now that I'm more focused on how intense I'm training, I definitely get beat up a lot faster in the gym, and it's super important that you take rest days so that you can recover properly. And I mean, in my personal opinion, I wouldn't do more than 3 days of, lower body, but that's my thoughts. What are your thoughts on any of that stuff?
Yeah, I think people underestimate the rest portion, and people really sometimes can get excited about pressing the gas pedal and just going faster and faster. But I do think there is so much to be said about your rest day and knowing that you need the rest day. So you've worked like an athlete, like you said, you've paid attention to your mind muscle connection, you've paid attention to your heart rate, like you've gone in and you've worked. And then having that rest day to kind of like recoup. I think it's the best balance for your body. And yeah, I think it's underestimated a lot of times in prep, but rest days provide a lot of benefit.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's go into cardio on that one. I think it's a good segue when we talk about glute growth, because overdoing the cardio can actually make your glutes a lot smaller, especially the type of cardio that you're doing. So if you're jogging, you're running, I'm going to give that to somebody that I want to have smaller glutes. That is my intention. If their glutes are too big, which doesn't happen very often, but it did happen this last team show, I had that person jog, steady state cardio, and it does help reduce the size. But most of us, that's not the problem. We need bigger glutes, more 3D glutes, better glute ham tie-in. And ways that we're going to get that is by doing HIIT training and making sure that we are getting quality sessions of cardio in, and that they are extremely intense. My cardio sessions are a lot shorter, but I'm not sitting there for hours and hours on a machine breaking down my muscle, putting myself in a catabolic state, especially like fasted cardio. It's just those hours of that, if you're training intensely enough in your cardio, it should be well fed. So if you're doing HIIT, it really needs to be fed. If you're doing steady state, then by all means, like I would say, fasted cardio is certainly the way to go, because you're not caring if your muscle is, you're training the red fibers, which are the slow twitch that are smaller. So everybody's unique, everybody has a different goal. But if you're trying to train like the white fast twitch muscle fibers that are larger in size, then it's pretty important that you put some intensity and you get some quality sessions. But again, everything's a balance. So we don't want a ton of quantity when it comes to HIIT because you also need time to recover as well. So thoughts yes. there with cardio.
I definitely can understand like the efficiency of HIIT and like you kind of get more bang for your buck, as far as like you're putting in a harder amount of work time in a shorter amount of time in the gym. And again, I think you said it right. Like it's always person dependent. It's also dependent on, I think, like where you are at in your prep, what you utilize. But I think it's definitely one of those that can be a much smarter way to train when it comes to changing your physique.
Good. Yeah, I agree. And it is always context dependent because if we're in too much of a deficit, you know, we don't want our athletes to get injured and things like that. So we have to make sure that when someone's dieting, as I mentioned, you know, it needs to be well fed.
Yes.
So that you do have enough carbs to recover and things like that. So everything is context dependent on where you are at in your prep life and what your timeline is and things like that. So there yes. is definitely value to, you know, incline walking and things like that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no good or bad. There's just variation between person.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good way of putting it. So mm-hmm. Any more thoughts on quality or working smarter, not harder on cardio?
On cardio? No, I think we covered that.
Okay. Anything in general with living the prep life that we haven't talked about?
I think, I know we sometimes like touch on mentality, but I think that's also a thing that can really propel you forward or can prolong your prep process. Just, I think, embodying the idea or the belief that you're an athlete and everything matters and everything counts, and not looking at it as you have more time than you actually do. Because I know that I've been that athlete. I've been that athlete where I've made a lot of just excuses because there were things that I wanted to do while I also had this goal to step on stage, whether it's like eat a little bit extra or slack off on certain like responsibilities like posing. So I think really like committing has been like a big thing where I've seen athletes really thrive, or other ones kind of like take more time than they could have. So I think like really embrace it, embody that part of the identity of you're an athlete, whether you're a mom, a career woman, like no matter what other roles you have, if you're prepping for a show, whether or not you've stepped on stage already, I would say identify as an athlete and make that commitment to execute all of those things because it really does matter. And you know, there's so many things can throw off the process. So I would not always bank on that you have plenty of time, like really focus and execute it. So I think if your mentality is in the right spot, you'll get more of that quality over quantity, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And I feel like, you know, there's so many people out there going for the same goal, you know, and there's going to be one winner at the end yes. of the day. And you need to know that you've checked every single box, but not just went through those motions, that you, like we said, worked smarter, not harder, yes. and really gave the quality to each and every piece, and that there wasn't one thing left undone. Because I guarantee you there's going to be people that lose on that day that have done everything they can.
Yes, ma'am.
So if you arrive to show day and you're like, well, I probably should have done more of this, or I probably should have executed better on that. I mean, you never want to have those regrets. So give it 100%, ask what you can do more of, and really take ownership for the fact that, you know, if you're having extra licks, tastes, you know, if you're missing a session of the gym, or you're not hitting your steps, or you're not hitting your target heart range, like, those things matter, and somebody yes. out there is doing them. So
yes,
you better believe it. So you need to make sure that you're 100% confident that you've given it your all and that you've executed on every single part of your prep to be successful.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, with that, we are at the 30-minute mark. So I would just like to take the time to share with you all that tomorrow, the Bikini Diaries podcast, I will be interviewed on that. It's launching tomorrow. So I just really love Naima Chu. She's such a sweetheart. So she was nice enough to have me on. So that's a really great podcast too, by the way. So Bikini Diaries podcast, check it out. And we really would love it if you could let us know what you think of the podcast. It just really helps other people to find it. So if you're finding any sort of value at all, even if it's just one thing we say, please give us a rating or review. It just really helps other people that are interested in the same topics find the podcast. And then you can always message us on Instagram. We're at Prep Life Podcast on there. We always like to hear, you know, your feedback, what you think of the podcast, or any kind of questions that you have that you would like for us to cover. We'd be glad to do so. And if you are interested in applying for the team, you can go to glamgirlbikini.com and hit the Get Started button and apply there for the team. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Anger, signing off with my fabulous co-host.
And this is Chris Nicole, Glam Girl Bikini Coach, IFBB Bikini Pro. Thanks for listening, guys.